Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of Welcome to Middays. Happy Friday to you. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to have you listening. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of God's very real presence in your life. Well, yesterday we did a show called Songs and Verses. We do those every month. We're trying to pick a theme around those shows, and we picked the theme of healing. And if you listened, you know that we could not get to all of the calls. We had so many calls, so many texts, so many emails. I think I probably have 100 emails left to reply to. I'll try to get to them, but it's going to take me a while. But just goes to show you how many people are hurting, how many people are sick and broken and deep need of restoration. Well, my friend joins me today, Laura Harris Smith, and her new book is titled Get Well Soon, Natural and Supernatural Remedies for Vibrant Health. We'll get her on in a moment. Real quick, though, we are really, the countdown has begun. We are so close to our upcoming Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. If you even have the slightest desire to not only get published, maybe you want to write a book, but maybe you want to write a blog or you want to build an online social media presence because you've got something to say, you got to join us. This is going to be an epic conference, A-list level faculty. Gary Thomas, Robin Jones-Gunn are our keynotes. It's going to be great. I'll be serving on the faculty as well. Would love to see you face-to-face. Coming up July 12th and 13th, you can find more information on the homepage on our website, myfaithradio.com. Well, my guest today writes this. She says, you have a life to live. Are you ready to live it? Imagine the healthiest, happiest version of yourself. And let's go find you. No matter what condition you are in today, get ready to take some steps towards understanding how to gain and maintain total body, mind, and spirit health. God has a tailor-made strategy to help you walk in wholeness. Could not agree more. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Laura Harris Smith is a certified nutritional counselor with a master's in original medicine. She's the host of the TV show The Three. It's a faith-based current events talk show that focuses on mind, body, spirit health. She and her husband, Chris, founded and pastor East Gate Creative Christian Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. Together, they have 6 children and 10 grandchildren, and I'm glad to call her my friend. Laura, welcome to the program.
Hi, Susie. It is so good to be with you.
I love our time together whenever we get to spend some time together. So you know this, I've interviewed you enough times. We love to start every conversation talking scripture. I'm wondering if there's a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's one of my favorites, and I've rarely met someone who hasn't heard it. So if you do know it, I'd love for you to quote it with me. It's 3 John 2, and it's And I even want for people to really hear it with new ears if they are familiar with it. And it is, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Everybody out there say all things. And be in health just as your soul prospers. So there's a link there. I love helping people connect those dots and get healthy body, mind, and spirit.
Love that. And friends, just so you know, the title of Laura's book is Get Well Soon, Natural and Supernatural Remedies for Vibrant Health. I endorse this book. There are recipes. There are faith declarations and prayers. There are foods that help different organs and systems in your body, prayers for specific illnesses and ailments. And then, Laura, you just build a case for why we need to partner with God in this healing process, which, you know, I ooze that, I bleed that. But friends, we've got 5 copies. You can text or email to get in the drawing, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And if you've got questions and comments along the way, please do text them in. You know this connection when you text me during the show, it's one of my love languages. You can also email middays@myfaithradio.com. So Laura, for those who maybe have missed some of our past conversations, it's been a while since you and I've chatted. Give a little backstory on your own health journey and maybe what your takeaway was from that battle.
Well, I have a king-size life. You described some of it there with a very large family, children and grandchildren. But I've also been writing books. This is actually my 21st book, and I have been writing for decades. And so when you do that at home, it's a hidden work, you know, and that coupled with the fact that we pastor a church, everything put together meant I was getting very little rest. And you know, by design, it's not that I couldn't rest. It's just I wouldn't. I would sleep maybe 4 hours a night. I have parents who both did that. I kind of wore it like a badge. Even Albert Einstein got 4 hours sleep a night, you know, and I would just accomplish. And before I knew it, I started having blood work that was coming back kind of wonky, and I was trying to figure out what was going on in my body. And meanwhile, I was writing a book, Seeing the Voice of God, a book on dreams, and I had decided to interview a sleep study doctor to give that side, you know, the physical side of dreams. And as I was sitting with him, he was discussing how if we don't get proper rest, this and such will start happening to your body. Your hormones will shut down first. He was ticking off a list of what was going on in my body. And it was like God, you know, Jehovah Sneaky, he was using work to make me study sleep because it was work that was keeping me from sleeping. And so sure enough, I went and got a blood test, one more blood test that I almost didn't get. I actually got it just on a fluke, but I see now it was Providence. But it was a test for my adrenal sufficiency, and it was shown that I was, you know, in stage three of adrenal fatigue, sometimes called adrenal burnout, and I have such a strong constitution that I wasn't feeling all that fatigued, or if I did, I just pushed through, and that was part of the problem. But yeah, so I was in stage three, and stage four is when all of your organs shut down, as you know, and you die. And so all of my organ systems, one by one, were already shutting down. I was told make changes or die. If you live at all, it will take 18 to 24 months to turn it around, they said. And I just got serious. I went on bed rest for 3 months. I made drastic changes. As I said, I was finishing writing Seeing the Voice of God. That was written on total bed rest. And every meal became a final exam. I was having to use food as medicine to live because my body could not handle medicines for every organ that was shutting down. It would have overloaded my liver. So I just began to study foods and how they could be used as medicine. And I discovered that God color-coded our foods. Certain colors are good for certain organs, and they're all good for all, but I'm saying I just began to unlock this whole world that even as a farmer's daughter, I had never known about. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that led to, I was in the middle of another book contract with Baker Publishing. And once again, Jehovah Sneaky, I just thought, you know, he's going to make me start writing about this and everything I've learned and how God turned my health around in 6 months. He did it in 6 months. I got a clean bill of health. And now at 54, I feel like I'm in my 20s. I just want to share with everyone as loud as I can from the rooftops that if we will treat our bodies like the temple of the Holy Spirit and we will get serious about partnering with God, really to fulfill 1 Thessalonians 5:23, which says that we may be may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want. I want to help people just be healthy, body, mind, and spirit at the coming of our Lord Jesus, that he would just be able to look upon a whole bride without spot or blemish.
Praise God. You know, and the reason this conversation is so important, and those who know me know I bring in health every once in a while because I'm, as someone who's battled, well, adrenal fatigue, but Lyme disease and other things, I've battled, but I'm a fitness-minded person. I love that God has fearfully and wonderfully made us and how much he invites us to partner with him in this process. Yes. And you think of how many people, and this is not condemnation, this isn't judgment, this is just the reality. When you neglect your health, it will become a crisis and you'll have to give it attention anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And that makes you a self-focused person as it is, but you're having to put all kinds of time and money into the crisis, right?
That's a very good point. I also tell people who say it takes too much time to eat healthy or to try to buy organic foods or just better foods, takes too much money. I'm like, look, so would you rather spend the time missing work, driving to the doctor, spending the money on medication? I mean, I've talked to people who've lost their jobs because of illness. And so it takes much less time to just invest in yourself and in the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what I just keep trying to remind people of, is that literally they are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's true, very true. If we don't pay attention to it now, we'll have to later.
So educate us a bit on food. You say it's color-coded. What do foods, certain foods do for us that may just surprise us?
Well, one of the easiest ones to remember is that red foods are full of a phytonutrient called lycopene. In fact, it's a pill now. You can take it. There's commercials about it. Take the little red pill. Well, it turns out if you'll just eat strawberries and red peppers, and it's red for a reason because God put the red phytonutrient lycopene in these red vegetables and fruits because they are very good for the heart. So when you see this pill advertised, this lycopene pill as being good for the heart, just remember, you know, the heart being red, symbolically so, and even with blood, it's just best to eat foods. Well, let me just say this. Your greens, you know, those are good for any area at all in your body. You need that plant blood in your body every single day. But as far as the colors that happen in plants, you know, they aren't just the colors that they are because of the mood that God was in the moment he made that vegetable or that fruit. I guess I just sort of didn't give that much thought before. But if you look at what he does to the trees every fall, when they change colors, it's a protective mode. These phytonutrients come in and provide the orange, which is beta-carotene. Yes, even in a tree leaf. But imagine what it does to our bodies then if we will eat that protection. So that lycopene is a really good example of just one of the ways that God has color-coded our food. And if we can just think in that direction and, you know, instead of just, you know, trying to take a supplement for this or for that. I'm not anti-supplement. I take plenty. But if we can just remember to just, you know, reach for an orange or reach for a banana instead, boy, I mean, we will see our health turn around.
We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want you to talk about maybe some things about the health and healing process that we just might not know. And they may be simple tweaks, like you're just talking about, reaching for a healthy piece of fruit or vegetables. But to just because we don't even know what we don't know. And if we could just learn a few basic principles on the health and healing process, it may go a long way. Talking to Laura Harris-Smith. Her book is titled Get Well Soon, Natural and Supernatural Remedies for Vibrant Health. You know what else we're going to talk about? Is the mindset that some say, well, God made me sick to keep me humble or to keep me dependent. Laura's going to bust that case wide open. We've got 5 copies. You can text or email to get in the drawing. If you've got questions, comments, include those as well. 877-933-2484 or middays at myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friend Laura Harris-Smith. Her book is titled Get Well Soon, Natural and Supernatural Remedies for Vibrant Health. There are recipes, there are faith declarations, there's just all kinds of information in this book about different diseases. I just opened up to hypothyroidism, Hashimoto's disease, pancreatic healing prayer, adrenal fatigue. Oh my goodness, so much here. Brain, spinal cord, nervous system health. 5 copies. You can text or email to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484 or middays at myfaithradio.com. We've got a few questions that have come in. One is, what are your thoughts about acupuncture? What do you say, Laura?
Well, I know several people who take acupuncture, acupressure. It is no mistake. There's just no doubt in my mind that there are electrical currents in our body. When people start referring to this as energy, there's a slippery slope there because yeah. Then I have heard of some, you know, more new age occultist practices that really refer to that energy as a chi or whatever. I'm not talking about that. When I, as someone who had to start having EEGs over 40 years ago, I used to suffer from violent convulsions. They would hook me up to a machine, you know, the EEG, and I would have to see on a graph of paper the electricity that was coming out of my body. That was my problem, is that I had too much electricity in my brain. And so I am very keenly convinced of the fact that acupressure and acupuncture can actually help those spots, those locations where that electricity, it's almost like where the currents and the conduits are placed, and a trained professional can know where those are and how to provide pressure that will bring results. What I just caution people with is to make sure that it is someone who is not doing it in any type of an esoteric or, you know, occultish way. Just check your sources, make sure you're in the right hands, and it can actually be very helpful to you.
And I, you know, got to say this, and I might get some people mad. I so agree with you about that. And Dr. Troy, who we have on once a month, his clinic does this. He's a strong Christian. He would say exactly the same thing. Where, you know, there is a slippery slope. And I will say there are some, though, that are so afraid and so because of maybe things that they've heard, that instead of having that kind of discernment, anybody who would say, you know, under a Christian umbrella that you can go after some of those areas makes you a false teacher or makes you, you know, suddenly they write you off as a heretic. And I just want you to be very careful about that, because the way that we're so fearfully and wonderfully made, and I think you explained it very, very beautifully. So Kevin writes in, what foods can be used for depression or anxiety, or maybe what foods could be avoided as well? What do you say, Laura?
Yeah, I would say anything for, you know, anything neurological at all. Especially if we're dealing with issues of the mind, you know, the mood. But even if we're talking about something, this is venturing a bit away from this question, but still regarding the brain, if we're talking about foods that need to be avoided, first of all, for the nervous system, all of these involve the nervous system. And if we're talking about foods that need avoided, what I do in Get Well Soon is I offer you what's called an A-list. And in every each of your 15 major body systems, and interestingly enough, I do start with the nervous system, I have a list of foods you should avoid. So for the brain, it would be caffeine, sugar, wheat, dairy, alcohol, those type things, aspartame, MSG, you know, these things that are just awful for your brain, mentally or physically. And then I would say add, that's the other one on your A-list, add, you know, your leafy greens, always organic meats, avocados, chamomile, lemon balms. I've got even herbs, you know, in the book, skullcap and lemon balm, valerian, those type things. They're very, very good. And as far as, you know, when I say give up wheat, sometimes people tune you out right there, to which I just say, listen, there are 19 other flours out there. My favorite is almond. We joke about how my husband will bring me flours. Sometimes it's almond, sometimes it's rice, sometimes it's sour gum dough. You know, like there's just so much more that God has created. And unfortunately, man, through genetically modified foods, has come in and just polluted our beautiful heads of wheat that used to span this country. It's no longer the wheat that Jesus talked about in parables. It's certainly not even your grandma's wheat, because gluten is now, they pack 10 more times of it in the head of a grain of wheat than they used to in generations past, and our bodies were just not meant or designed to digest such a rubber tire. So often it just sits in the gut and rots. So when I say almond flour being good is something to add for the nervous system, I'm telling you, it's loaded with protein, has a very low glycemic index spike, so it's also friendly for people with blood sugar issues, and it is just plain good. I'm not a baker. I spend as little time in the kitchen as possible, but this is no longer a undercurrent or a subculture in our society. We're finally, those of us who've been making noise about this, are finally seeing the results as consumers. You walk through the stores and you can find these ingredients readily on your shelves, if you'll just make better choices with them. So just to continue to answer his question, I would say then, as far as supplementation for the brain, make sure you're taking, you know, fish oils and magnesium, all your busy bees, your vitamin Bs, those type things, because the brain is the commander of the entire body. It is like the commander in chief. Now, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit and how he guides your life. I'm talking about the command center of your body. It begins in your brain. So, yes, nourish it with those foods, avoid the ones that I mentioned, and just begin supplementation. You will see the results, whether your brain issues are mental or whether they are physiological.
Very good. You know, I have a family member who, ironically, when the functional med doc got them off of corn, their anxiety just this dear family member was on 4 or 5 different meds for anxiety, depression, and this doc said, I think you probably need one, not all of those, but I'm going to change your diet. He pulled out wheat, gluten, but then the corn, because of the inflammatory nature, I brought their anxiety. And now that they've been off it, they got off 4 of the 5 meds. When they have occasional, you know, like chips and salsa and all the stuff that they love, they'll have a surge of anxiety. And it's so connected and so clear, you know, now that they've, isn't that amazing?
It is. It is so connected. And the corn, if you think about it, it's a stimulant because there's so much sugar in it. It's what we make corn syrup out of. My uncle was a pig farmer, Susie, and I don't know if you've ever been around a pig pen, especially a pig farm. You can literally walk up to it, and just by walking up, these pigs are always so jittery. They will all run to the opposite side of the herd like they're just scared little, you know, little pests. And I think it's because, honestly, they are fed on corn, and they would throw the corn cobs in there. I mean, they eat everything. And so it makes sense. They acted anxious. They exhibited anxious behavior. So that makes perfect sense to me.
Interesting. And one other thing, too. My husband doesn't have the gluten allergy or sensitivity that I do, but he just felt like he wanted to give it up as a fast. He lost 30 pounds in a month, and he said the mental clarity that came to his brain. He said, I didn't know I was foggy till I was had better clarity. So it's just a good exercise. We've got a couple minutes to our hard break, so you can start answering this and cover it on the other side if you need to. But this dear listener says, interesting topic. You're both healthy-minded, driven people to begin with. Do you think your strong constitution contributed to your turnaround? I have dysthymia that's a treatment-resistant, and I want to sleep all the time. Not always because I feel tired, but out of avoidance. I make some progress, but nothing ever sticks. She says, maybe because I'm lazy? What do you say?
Well, you may have a different answer. I don't know, Susie, but I really believe that my strong constitution, which, first of all, is a generational blessing that came from my godly parents. I don't want to in any way say that what, you know, the poor sleep habits I got from them were anything other than just a blessing in disguise. You just have to learn how to manage that strong constitution. And so for me, yes, it was the strong constitution that got me into trouble because I kept pushing through my fatigue and I kept pushing through that. But it was also the strong constitution that got me out of it. I mean, as soon as they said to me, cut off, you know, cut out wheat, cut off sugar, it's too hard on your body to process. These foods are taking too much energy from your body and you've got to give it nothing else to do but heal. It made sense to me, and I just said, okay, let's do it. And so when someone says to you, make changes or die, what's the alternative? Yeah, it's hard, but the alternative is death. So you do it. So for her, I would say it's not that she's lazy. She's probably dealing with some underlying issues. Yes, she has the illness that she mentioned, but also there could be some dietary help that could help, you know, promote energy in her body and give her some vigor back. And then, you know, with the right foods and yes, if there are spiritual issues, you just never know what's going on, you know, under the hood with people spiritually or emotionally. But all of those things put together, sure, the opposite can happen. You can have more energy and sleep less. I have a friend who has depression and she just all she wants to do is sleep all the time. So I say if you we could just put you and I in a bag together and shake us up, we'd be great. Apparently, that's where a lot of the answers lie.
All right. Talking to Laura Harris-Smith, the book is Get Well Soon, Natural and Supernatural Remedies for Vibrant Health. Text or email to get in the drawing. If you've got questions, we'd love to hear those as well. 877-933-2484 or email middays at myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friend Laura Harris-Smith. Her book is Get Well Soon, Natural and Supernatural Remedies for Vibrant Health. As I said, I endorse this book. It is literally a handbook. First of all, she makes a biblical case why God doesn't want you sick. God never makes his children sick to teach them a lesson. There's nothing in the Bible that says that, and she'll explain that in a little bit. But you've got questions about a diet, about specific foods, anything, we'd love to hear from you. We've got five copies, 877-933-2484. You can also include your questions. Email as well, middays@myfaithradio.com. I love this. Cindy Fry writes in, loving this conversation. She says, I'm a home health care nurse who sees low-income, mentally ill clients daily, and I'm trying to convince them that diet is important and is a challenge. And she says this too, and I was going to say it earlier, corn, we talked about the inflammatory impact of corn and that it can sometimes lend itself to anxiety. But she says this, it's almost always contaminated with mold, and that's just true. Laura, another listener wants to know, are sardines okay to eat?
I have no opinion on sardines because I hate them.
So that's an opinion.
That is an interesting question, but I'm going to tell you that I have heard from some people because of the sodium content that they could be very hard on your blood pressure, difficult for your circulatory system. But other than that, I just have a severe, reaction to the word sardine because I just can't stand the taste of them. Mm. So that's interesting. I would say if you have sodium issues or blood pressure issues, you really need to steer clear of those.
And if you have gag issues, which I do, so.
But also, think about it. I even say this with fish oil pills or any kind of fish, because of the high mercury count in our waters these days, so often what's happening with, any of these type things are just that they're poisoned. We're receiving heavy metal poisoning from them. So, if you can find some low-sodium organic sardines or, whatever, you are more than welcome to go digging for that. But I wouldn't spend too much time on it when there's other things you could eat that are better.
All righty. So this one says, is there something I can do in my menopause to trigger weight loss? It doesn't matter if I eat a lot, matter if I exercise and sauna and eat shakes, I'm stuck at this weight. So trying to eat healthy, does a sauna, whatever, but it's retaining. And I know Dr. Troy has said a lot of times on the show that women who carry a lot of weight in their hips and their rear end have a toxic level of estrogen. But maybe speak to that if you would.
Oh, boy, I would love to speak to this one because I am this woman.
Right.
So I'm 54 years old, and I went through a premature menopause in my early 40s. And so I'm 10 years on the other side of menopause. I had the metabolism of a grasshopper, and I could eat anything. It would stay down. I've been size 4 my whole life. And all of a sudden, my clothes were just, I was fitting differently in them. And, I gained 15 pounds, something like that. And I could not for the life of me, no matter how much I treadmilled, no matter how much I cut back. I even went on a fast at one point, a very, very long fast. And I did not lose weight on the fast. I thought something is really messed up. Now, I have been on bioidentical hormone replacement therapy because it just, for bone health, I had broken a rib and broken 2 teeth, and for heart health. And even with that, even with my hormones regulated, I still wasn't losing the weight. So we can't blame everything on hormones, although that's important. Let me tell you what did it for me. I'm so excited to share this. And I talk a little bit about it in Get Well Soon. What happened with me was that I was juicing so much, and I was eating so much fruit. And I was also, if a package said gluten-free, I thought I had to eat it. And so I was eating a lot of rice, which has a high glycemic index spike. And so I got this blood test back, and I was pre-diabetic. Here I was, this author of, these health books, and I looked, fine, and I felt fine, and I was eating nothing but good foods, but I was already insulin resistant by the time the blood test came back, and I was in full-blown metabolic syndrome. And so I started looking at my diet and thinking, okay, I am, through the rice, eating way too many carbs. We always think of carbs as like white bread or starchy potatoes, but I was just by eating gluten-free foods and by eating so much fruit, I was raising my own blood sugar level naturally, but still so high that my body was becoming it was becoming resistant to insulin. So here's what I did. I took that blood test. And I said, okay, this is proof that I've got to do something between the carb and good fat ratio in my body. Because if you can if you can raise your good fats, like your avocados and your oils, and yes, even your animal fats, eggs, things like that, if you can raise that in your body while lowering your carbs, obviously we've already talked about the elimination of wheat, but I'm saying also not eating so much rice and so much quinoa and every gluten-free snack you can find just because it says gluten-free. If you can monitor your carbs and get a better raising of your high fat, I did that. Now, a lot of people describe that as the keto diet or living in, with a keto regimen. I like the concept of a body in ketosis only because it adjusts your sugar levels automatically. And as soon as I did that, Susie, 16 pounds fell off of me that I'd not been able to get off all those years.
Wow.
It just fell off. I mean,
so what did your diet look like? What, so you cut out, I mean, you're so right, because you think in your mind, I'm eating gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, I'm eating healthy.
Yeah.
But if you go to all those snacks, you're still getting carbs, which are still sugar.
Was,
so what did your diet then look like?
So what I began to do was I began to buy cauliflower rice. If you've never discovered that, it's in your frozen section at your store. You can make mashed potatoes out of cauliflower. You can, first and foremost, I had to stop eating, you know, bananas and apples every single day. What I did instead now, I have switched to mainly berries. Berries are so good for you anyway. They're full of antioxidants. Doctors tell you that blueberries are in one of the top 8 foods you should be eating every day of your life. When you pass by the kitchen, just refrigerator, just get a handful and just get them into your body. So I switched to mainly berries. I'll add a little bit of stevia on that. Oh, how I wish that the stevia plant had been discovered before the sugar cane plant, because I really believe there'd be no diabetes. We wouldn't be dealing with some of the issues that we are dealing with today. And many people don't think they like stevia, but they're trying to measure it spoon for spoon or cup for cupful, and it's 200 to 300 times more potent than sugar. So they're putting so much in, maybe even just a cup of coffee, that they're thinking it has a chemical aftertaste, and there's nothing unnatural about it. It's a natural plant. They're just using too much. So a little bit of that on your berries. Then I dropped down, like I said, off of rice and carbs. I really switched over to almond flour, which, as I said, it's full of protein, but it has a very, very low glycemic index spike. So if I eat any bread at all or anything like that, it's going to have almond flour in it. And even then, it's very little. But you can't just do that. Your body is getting energy from that glucose, whether it's sugar or natural sugar fruits or even any of the breads that you eat. It's converting all of that into glucose for energy for your body. So what happens in a state of ketosis is you're lowering that and you're teaching your body to live off of fat. Now, I'm talking about healthy fat, your omega-3s and your omega-6s, and your body will eventually click and switch over and start eating your own fat. And it just literally, that's why the 16 pounds fell off of me. I had you back on my show this last season, and you were on in season one and you were on in season two. I had lost the weight then, and the only thing I changed was that. I didn't exercise any more than I did. I actually exercised a little less, but it happened because my body began to get its fuel from healthy fat and no longer from glucose. And so that was just the shift. That's what it's called, living in a state of ketosis. I try not to endorse any certain, you know, diet or fad, but it's, I believe that if we will all lower our carbs as a society and raise our healthy fats, you need to say something. I wrote Get Well Soon in a full-blown state of ketosis, and the mental clarity I had to pump out these 80,000 words, it was the largest book I'd ever written. And I mean, I just felt like I was in a rocket. It was my first experience with living in ketosis, and I felt like I wrote this book in that place of just such mental clarity and excitement to share even some of these secrets. I even put some of them in the book.
Wow.
So that's a little bit of the B story for you.
Appreciate that. And I also know that, you know, broccoli and cauliflower help pull the toxins. When you've got estrogen toxins stored up in those hips, that broccoli and cauliflower are two of the best vegetables, aren't they, to just kind of grab hold of those things and pull them out?
Very fibrous. Right. Yeah, they act like claws. They'll go in and just help.
Like that. Good.
Other foods you can. So.
Okay, and so Richard asked this. He said, could Laura please address sluggish liver symptoms and issues and how to detox the liver?
Okay, that one's going to be masked as a lot of different things because your liver controls so many things, but it has two primary jobs, and that is to filter your blood and to take everything good that comes out of your food and put it back into the body. So that's why when my liver was failing, it could not handle a different medication for every one of my organs that was failing. It had to do nothing. I had to give it nothing to do but heal and then focus on filtering my blood. So I couldn't give it the job and the extra burden of filtering bad foods anymore. So your sluggish liver, if you can get your liver in good condition, the rest of your body and symptoms and ailments and aches that you never even would have linked back to a liver, they'll go away, many of them. So I would say to do a liver cleanse. If he's already recognizing symptoms of sluggish liver, he doesn't need me to go into all of that, what the other symptoms are. You just sometimes will experience an all-over lethargy. Doctors will pin different names on it. Some doctors will say there's nothing wrong with you. Go see a psychologist. And so if we can get our livers in good shape by doing a liver cleanse, milk thistle is extremely good for the liver. In my other book, The 30-Day Faith Detox, I take people through an entire liver cleanse and of that entire system to make sure that the liver is in tip-top shape, because with it in tip-top shape, you are able to literally provide pure, filtered health into every other organ of your body.
Very good. The texts are coming in faster than I can read them, and that's really exciting, which tells me I need to have you back on next month if you're available so we can keep on.
Sure.
But I promised to address this idea because I've heard people say it, that, you know, God made me sick because he's teaching mm-hmm. me a lesson. God made me sick. He wants me dependent, wants me humble. Now, I will tell you, my battle in health has not been wasted on me. God has used it, but I absolutely know he didn't send it. So I want you to,
right.
And you make a very strong case for that in the book. What do you say?
Yeah. Oh, boy. I just pray right now, Jesus, first of all, as I speak these words, that they would be revelation to people. Mm. If the doctrine has been twisted in Scripture to make you look like anything else than a good Heavenly Father. Father, we repent for buying into that, and we ask you bring revelation right now. I even ask if you're listening, you would just stop what you're doing and listen to me for just a moment, friend. There is a passage in Scripture that I believe has been so misinterpreted over the years that it makes the heart of the Father just grieve, and it is the Paul Thorn passage, 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. And most people are familiar with it. It just says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. Well, many of us, and I was one of them, I just read that to you from the ESV, but many of us, we quote that from the MCT, what I jokingly call the Misled Christians Translation, and here's my interpretation of that. So in order to keep me from being conceited, God gave me a disease, inspired by Satan, to torment me. 3 times I begged God to take the disease from me, and he refused, telling me grace was enough and that he wanted me to stay sick. Therefore, I will brag about being sick and weak for Jesus. So what I do is I unpack one by one in chapter 3 of Get Well Soon, each one of these Greek words and exactly what Paul meant when he said these. Because first of all, you may think it flies in the face of saying that God is a good father when I tell you that he is the one who gave the thorn, because it says it was given to keep him from being conceited. Do you think Satan was concerned about Paul being conceited? Of course not. This was a man full of incredible revelation. And so, yes, God did give the thorn, but you have to then ask, what is the thorn? First of all, it's the Greek word skolos, and it means a stake or a thorn. It's only used once in Scripture. If it was talking about a literal physical thing, he would have used another word. I believe it's akinthos, and it's the word used like for the crown of thorns and that type thing. This was a symbolic thing that was given to Paul. In other words, not something physiological. And the other thing was we have to ask ourselves, if he gave it, what does that mean, to give? And it's a Greek word, didomai, which literally means to entrust. God entrusted this thing to Paul. So when we get into the fact that it was a demonic harasser, it's this word, agulos. It literally means like a messenger. Why on earth, Susie, would God entrust a demonic force to a Christian? Well, the obvious answer is to subdue it, to put it under our feet. And 3 times, you know, God was asked by Paul to remove it. And when you look at what this word weaknesses is, how he's boasting in his weaknesses, all but one, in other words, all but one of the major translations do not translate it infirmities at all. As most people say, they will boast in their infirmities. It's translated, as I said it, weaknesses. And so what that means is these were the persecutions that Paul suffered, the weaknesses. He goes into them extensively, the same Greek word that he uses over and over again in Scripture. It's asthenia, and it literally means weaknesses. He used it when he was stoned. He used it when he was shipwrecked. He used it in all of these instances when he was persecuted as a Christian. So basically what this passage is saying is, I begged God three times to deliver me from these persecutions, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so you know what? We can't rebuke persecution any more than Jesus could. That's why. But Paul did not have a physical infirmity. Sometimes people point to scriptures about how he would pluck out his own eyes, the Galatians would pluck out their eyes for him. Well, he just had been stoned, and he had, it was so severe that perhaps it damaged his face. Some people say, oh, he had epilepsy. Some people say he had migraines. The sheer fact that educated scholars cannot agree on what this storm was physiologically proves it wasn't physical. It was an asthenia, weakness of persecution, a demonic harasser that was entrusted to Paul so that he could subdue it and put it under his feet in the earth. And so many Christians who are sick don't realize that they are being entrusted with a demonic harasser so that they can subdue it, take authority over it, and ministry is birthed there. So I am very passionate about undoing this, I call it a damnable doctrine that we have created around Paul's thorn.
Truly, Laura, if we believe that Jesus made us sick, you know, I mean, I want to say this carefully, but I remember seeing a movie, I don't know, 25 years ago about a mom who had something called Munchausen by proxy, and it's a mental illness where the mom inflicts sickness on the child and then becomes the hero by rescuing them out of the sickness, and it's a mental illness, and yet we project the very thing on God as if a loving father would make us sick so he can rescue us out of it. That doesn't make any sense, but when I guess I didn't really dig deep into the whole mindset until this last relapse. I thought, if I'm going to pursue healing and I'm going to persevere in this, I have to believe with all my heart that God wants me well. And even though I do know, and you and I may think a little differently about this, I don't know. I actually don't know if we do or not, but I've known very godly people who've gotten sick and died, and they weren't lacking faith. So I don't get the mystery of why some die, and I wouldn't say they missed a step, but I'm saying, for those of us in the land of the living, to err on the side of faith, believing that we are in agreement with God, that he wants us to, you know, even the scripture says that your soul would prosper, that you would be in good health. We have to be in agreement with God, or we'll never really pursue everything he has for us.
Oh, I mean, he made it that way because it's the way it should be, because with agreement, everything is within our power. That is what he says in Scripture when he says, you know, if you believe, all things are possible, or where two or three agree, whatever they ask shall be done for them. These type statements by our Lord prove that coming into agreement with him especially is so important. And so I just grieve when I hear people, as you were saying, who say that somebody who dies, they didn't have enough faith. That is so grievous to me. I'm very attracted to people who have suffered, not just from physical sickness, but now emotionally, because someone in the church told them they weren't healed because they didn't have enough faith. That
Lord
is
have mercy.
So grievous to the Father. And
I agree.
Let me tell you what I believe, and I cover this in Get Well Soon.
Laura, you've got to pause a second. Laura, one sec. I'm sorry. I was so engrossed with what you were saying, I totally skipped our break, which I can never have done that in 14 years of radio. So that just tells you what kind of guest you are. So we need to pause here. And friends, we're getting so many responses on this book. And I want to tell you, when I ask for your address, we don't share it with anyone. We need an address so we can mail a physical copy of the book. So would you get your name in the drawing if you'd like to? You can tell Laura writes like she speaks. 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll pick this conversation up in just a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friend Laura Harris-Smith, who's written a brilliant book, Get Well Soon, Natural Supernatural Remedies for Vibrant Health. We've got five copies, and I'm going to see if we can get Laura to come back next month because I'm only on page one of my notes because we've had so many questions come in. But still, I want your name in the drawing if you want to be considered, 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Please remember that mailing address. And Laura, I'm so grateful to hear. I should have known that you would have felt that way when I was talking about, you know, we're talking about that God wants us well. And given that, there are times when people take a theology so far that they would say you were lacking faith if somebody died. Yeah. And I think that's a cruel theology, actually. But because that's been so done so poorly, we swing the other side and we don't contend. And I think you and I both ooze this thing. How bad do you want it? Because we've got to fight for it.
Yeah, well, we try to formulate the Lord, and I'm probably going to get very emotional as I do this, but as someone who has suffered physically and the enemy's weapon of choice has always been sickness for me, I have had to dig my heels in deep and decide, do I believe the word of God or do I not? And I just told the Lord one day, I said, Father, I either believe everything in your word or I'm an atheist today. I'm making the choice to believe everything in your word. And from Genesis to Revelation, you tell me you're a healing God. You introduce yourself to us for the first time as Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. It's not just something you do. It's who you are. So then how, God, do I reconcile the fact that sometimes I in my own body have to go through a process, and other times I get a miracle, sometimes I don't. Sometimes people do, sometimes they don't. So first of all, let me just say this, and I'm being impassioned because I'm trying to speak as quickly as I can. There is a difference in healing and miracles. I was reading 1 Corinthians 12 one day. 2 Corinthians 12 is where Paul's thorn is, but I love 1 Corinthians 12 as well because he discusses the nine gifts of the Spirit here, and one of them is healing and one of them is miracles. Now, there are not eight gifts of the Spirit. This means these two must be totally different, and when he showed me this after decades of being a Christian, it just was a light bulb to me. What are the differences then? And so when you look them up in the Greek, again, people need to be digging into the Hebrew and Greek to find out what their Bible really says. But that is a passage that when you look deeper into what those words mean in the Greek, the one miracle, it means like an instant manifestation to establish the preaching of the word. So someone's preaching, a miracle happens, salvation break out. I mean, it's just everybody believes. It's an instant work. Healing, many of the Greek words there are by process words, like therapeo. It means therapy, medicine, cure, remedy, that type thing. And so to some, he's given the working of miracles, and to others, he's given the gift of inventing cures is really what this means. And so when you see the difference there, you have to say this to some people who are wondering why some get healed and why don't. I'm like, no, what happens is you prayed for a miracle, and unfortunately, you got a healing. You're in process. And so God, my anthem really in life with this body, mind, and spirit theme is to help people in their healing processes, because I believe God created you to be whole and to get whole, but you can't be whole unless you are body, mind, and spirit minded. So I have two pictures on my nightstand, Susie, and one of them is a direct quote from Scripture in Mark about how it says that believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And the other one is a picture of my best friend that I lost to cancer. She had stage 4 cancer in 7 organs when she died in her 40s. And, you know, I keep those side by side to remind myself, Laura, you don't have all of the answers, and you will never accuse anyone of not having as much faith, having too much faith or enough faith, because this woman had so much faith. But what I do in Get Well Soon is I try to troubleshoot and provide other alternatives to explain why sometimes people do not get well. And here are just a couple of them. Number one, there are generational issues that are going on in families, generational curses. You'll see where a grandfather has cancer, then the father gets cancer, and then the son gets cancer, and they live in total opposite region.
I'm so sorry. We are literally out of time. I'm begging you to come back next month so we can pick this up, okay?
Anytime.
I love you, my friend, and thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. Thanks to my amazing producers, Kim and Carissa, who make every day brighter, every show better. Appreciate doing life with you. We will get Laura on again next month. Have a blessed day and a great weekend. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Suzy Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Suzy Larson.